Speakeasy.
Words.
Lingo.
Speakeasy.
Language.
Speakeasy on ABC Radio Perth.
And very good morning, Daniel Midgley. How lovely to see you. And finally, you get to meet him in the flesh.
Hello, everybody. Woo. Great to see you. Gosh, what a great crowd. And in such a lovely place. The rain has dissipated and now everything smells like a fine astringent. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's all eucalyptic. Oh.
Yes, eucalyptic.
Eucalyptic.
I just made that word
medicinal.
Up.
Yeah. No, the smell of eucalyptus is actually quite strong. It's beautiful. Mm. It's refreshing.
Love it.
It's clearing. Actually, it's good for you.
It's very good for me. This is fantastic. If everyone just could rub their hands together and then just come and run it under my nostrils for a little bit, that would be fantastic. I've just thought of something, and I've got a song to play that has this word in it, and the reason I selected it was because of that. But I think it's the most beautiful word, petrichor.
Petrichor, what a great word.
Does anyone know what petrichor is?
Yeah, we got a few word fans out here.
Yeah, yeah, and so you explain it.
The smell of that rain, it's rain smell.
Yeah.
The smell of rain, what actually is happening is that there's low pressure and the ground smells just sort of come up.
Yeah.
So that you're kind of smelling rain, but it's actually kind of the ground.
It's kind of a bit of soil, a bit of grass, and a bit of dirt on the pavement.
Yum.
It is. It's
quite yum.
If it's been dry for 6 months and you get that first rain, it's that kind of smell. It's petrichor. Which is such a great word, and it sort of happily describes where we are this morning at King's Park from a smell point of view.
Yes, indeed.
Mm. Now, today's topic is a great one. If you have a question for Daniel, pop your hand up, or you can call in as well on 1300 222 720. I love this topic. So you're looking at how a lot of British sarcasm is lost on Americans.
You know, I first noticed my introduction to British sarcasm or British humor, like a lot of American kids, was Monty Python. Anyone? Any fans? And there's the perfume sketch where he goes, why don't you try this aftershave? It's called Bream. And Eric Idle takes a sniff and says, I quite like it. And then Michael Palin goes to pick a different one, right? Like, and I thought, that's kind of funny. He said he quite liked it. Does that mean he didn't like it? And yeah, it does. It means, you know, I quite like it, but it's not really the right thing for me. So I've noticed that there are a lot of funny little bits. Russell, you've been living in the States for a while.
Yeah.
What have you noticed about American communication?
Well, they often don't mean what you think they mean is one thing.
Really?
Yeah. Minnesota is where I live. That's the state. Minneapolis is the city. And there's this thing called, Daniel, Minnesota Nice.
I've heard of this.
Yeah. And it's like they'll be friendly with you, they'll talk to you, they'll engage with you, they'll seem to invite you to their world, but they're not.
They're just being polite.
Yeah. And then if you try to lock in a date, like if you say, well, I'm free on the weekend, they just start to tremble. And it's like, oh, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? I don't want him coming over to my house.
So it's like that we must catch up.
Yes, that's exactly what
I'll call you and never call.
That's really interesting because what I've noticed is this overly friendly thing. Like my wife, who's from Perth, we would go to shops and the shop person would say, hi, how are you doing? And she would, for a moment, think, is this a person I know and I've temporarily forgotten? Oh, no, it's just a regular shop person. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, I found this really fun study from a public opinion company, YouGov, where they asked British people and American people, here's a sentence, what do you think it means? And they got some very different answers, almost as though the Americans didn't quite get what was intended. So what would it mean if somebody gave you a suggestion or a recommendation and you said, I'll bear it in mind? What are you really saying?
Yeah, I'll consider it.
I'll consider it.
Okay, well...
but not anytime soon.
But there you go. There's the tag. It could mean, I've forgotten it already. Or it could mean, I will probably do it. British folks, when you ask them, about 55% of them said, I've forgotten it already. That's what I'll bear it in mind means, right? I mean, that's what I would say. I'll bear that in mind, and now I'm finished. Whereas the Americans, about 43% said that it probably means, I'll probably do it. How about this one? With the greatest respect... Which, of course, means, well, it could mean a couple of things. It could mean I'm listening to you, or it could mean I think you're an idiot.
Can I just put my hand up and say, I do say a lot with all due respect, and I think I say it a lot to politicians.
Because what's coming next is not...
Nonsense. Complete and utter nonsense.
Okay. The British folks, about 68% of them thought that that meant, I think you're an idiot. And the majority of Americans, 46%, thought that it meant, I'm listening to you. So you can see how these kind of cross-cultural miscommunications can happen. What else? There's... A lot of them were a little more even. Like, I would suggest, which could mean, you know, think about this, but do what you like. Or it could mean, you better do this, or else be prepared to justify yourself. This was a little more even, but the British folks still thought it was, yeah, do it, when I say I would suggest a thing.
One that's jumped out at me, Daniel, and having worked in London as a journalist for a couple of years a long time ago, I only have a few minor comments,
which means you better change this completely because it's really terrible.
Whereas the Americans will say, oh, there's a few typos.
Now, how does this relate to Australian? Are we closer to British side or more to the American side?
I think British.
British?
I still think British.
Yeah. British, yes. Everyone agrees, I think.
I sense we're losing the fight, though. I sense we're losing the fight. We're being sucked over to the American way.
There are a lot of complaints about creeping Americanisms, and I'm
Daniel is
sorry
physical evidence of, of it.
I worry, you know, am I encroaching, or is it just part of a global sort of English-speaking community when we all share things?
Is that it?
That's it, isn't it?
Well, I think so, except that, you know, I could understand why people would feel a little uncomfortable with the whole American thing, because Americans do kind of outnumber the speakers of other kinds of English, at least as far as native speakers go. But, of course, there's a lot more than native speakers. There's a lot of ways to be an English speaker.
9 to 7 on ABC Radio Perth. We are coming to you live from King's Park. This is Speakeasy. We have a wonderful crowd in front of us. If you have a question for Daniel, because he loves questions without notice, pop your hand up. Hillary's got a mic and she will come to you. Hillary, you've got someone over there. Hello, good morning.
Good morning. Why do Americans not get rhyming slang? Like, I've tried to explain to Americans what Billy Lids mean, and they just look at me like, you're from another planet.
Can you give us an example?
Billy Lids.
The Billy Lids.
Okay. Meaning kids.
I've never heard of that before.
And there are lots of...
Oh, sorry.
Sorry, I haven't. I've been...
Try telling them that we call them seppos.
Seppos.
Septic tanks.
Yes.
One of my favourites
is... I hear what you say.
She's doing it. One of my favourites is why we call it blowing a raspberry when you go... Why do we call it that?
Why?
Rhyming slang. Raspberry tart.
I never knew that.
It's not just Americans that don't get it. It could be hiding in plain sight if you're not ready for it.
Hey, that is fantastic.
So now you know.
Daniel and Russ.
A couple of texts, yes. Here we go. Firstly, can you please ask Daniel, says Tracy, is it I've not or I haven't?
Oh, well, there's two ways that you could go. You could say, you know, you've got three words, I have not. Do you combine the I haven't, I have, and make it I've, or do you combine the have not and make it haven't?
So,
I've heard that for British English, and I think maybe Australian English, the I've is popular, and for Americans, the haven't is popular. That's the way it seems to go for me. Can anyone confirm or disconfirm? What would you say? Would you say, instead of, who would say, I haven't been to King's Park? Well, no one, because we're here. Okay, who would say I've not been? Okay, so I've not is not as popular, it would seem, at least among this crowd.
That was Peter again, the only person wearing the purple scarf and the person that gave us the photo
of the narrows.
He's like determined to be in a crowd of one.
No, you're a linguistic time capsule.
Smart guy. Another question then?
Daniel, I'm a Canadian and got in big trouble when I said to him, I lucked out meeting you.
Yes.
We looked that up in Canada, America. This means you win. In the UK, Australia, it means that you ran out of bad luck.
It's true. I got in real trouble with this when I said this to the young woman who was to become my wife. I said, I really lucked out when I met you. And she got really upset because for her that meant I ran out of luck. when I met you. And for me, it was like I was super lucky. So I had to go back and explain that one.
Daniel, I was at Las Vegas Airport going through the security many years ago.
For the fourth time?
For the fourth time. And the bells rang and sirens and the man goes, I need to pull you aside.
Take off
to
the
which
piercings.
I loudly said, oh, it'll be the crystals in my thongs. To which everybody just looked at me because I'd said this quite loudly. And, of course, I was talking about the thongs on my feet and they thought I had a jewel-encrusted, rather skimpy piece of underwear.
I would like to see that. Why are you wearing crystals on your flip-flops, by the way?
No, they were just... They were just like, you know, fake ones.
Oh, okay.
But anyway.
No therapeutic effects.
There you go. It was rather embarrassing, and they all looked at me. I don't know if it was with horror or excitement.
We need to settle this thong thing, all right? Could we do it right now? Let's just decide, everybody.
Thongs.
Yeah.
Where do you...
I mean, in the U.S.
On the feet.
Okay, from now on, everybody... not going to have any effect, does it?
Because they call them flip-flops in the U.S. and other parts of the world, jangles in New Zealand.
Really?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah. Anyone got the other questions you want to ask? We'll get the roving mic through to you. Does anyone want to ask
I want to give a shout-out to my friend Kylie, who's on the podcast Talk the Talk. She's our producer and co-presenter. Hello, Kylie.
Yay! Where
you
is
know
she?
Her? You love her. Right here.
Hello. You do a good job with him. He's very clever.
He is
you
clever.
Must come for dinner.
Does her best.
I'll tell you some Minnesotan expressions.
Please.
One is ufta.
I love ufta.
Ufta. Have you ever heard that? Like, have you ever watched Fargo?
Yes.
You know, that's Minnesotan. Fargo is in northern Minnesota on the border with Dakota there, I think. And ufta just means, it could be, oh, there's a really bad smell in the room. Ufta. Or it could be you're in a bit of shock. Oofta.
Something.
Or I wish work would finish soon. You know. Oofta. Same word.
So how drunk was the person that invented that word?
Well, they've got this attachment to, because they come from the north. They've got this attachment to the
Scandinavians.
Yeah. So it's Vikings and it's Norway and all that sort of stuff. So oofta is one that they use quite a bit that I love. They also have skull. Which means cheers, but that they use that quite liberally.
Do you say that a lot, Russell?
You betcha. They say you betcha.
You betcha.
Yeah, you betcha. You betcha.
You know,
and that's like, do you want to come over to my house? And go, you betcha, which means no.
No.
You go south a little bit down to Utah, and it's you bet.
You bet.
You bet.
Yeah, so it's, they always sound Australian to me, those sorts of expressions. That cheeky, punchy language sounds more Australian than American, I thought. But
I just like saying reckon a lot.
Reckon. Yeah.
That's what I like saying. You know, if you say it over there, you sound like a cowboy, but if you say it here, you're just a regular person. You reckon?
You reckon?
I reckon.
You reckon?
I reckon.
Oh, he's gone early to the song. What are you doing?
Sorry.
Didn't I say don't touch the buttons?
Yeah.
This has all changed. I said to you.
It's an outside broadcast.
I said, I'll take
That's
control.
That's your computer?
I'll
That's
take
my
control
computer.
Of the music.
Do you know why? Because your fingers are too fat. That's the problem. And you're banging. You want to play a song to 7 o'clock?
I'll remind you. Like, I'm in my 50s now, everyone. So it's that time where when you go to the doctor, you need extra tests. And so I'm actually picking my doctors out according to how slender their fingers are.
I'm going to cut you off. I'm going to say goodbye to Daniel.
Yeah, sure.
Can we thank Daniel Midgley? Speak
thank
easy.
You. Thank you.